considering that this is the week of Parshas Vayetz Chanon, and it always coincides with Shabbos Nachamu, so I wanted to just discuss the connection that perhaps exists between the Parsha and the concept of Hashem giving us a Nechama, Hashem consoling us for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that we were sent into Golus, and the fact that over the generations we've had to be sovel, tremendous yisurim, and have difficulties. And although, Baruch Hashem, we've come very close to the end, hopefully, and we're in a position where we've gotten back much of what was lost to us, we're still not there yet. And what nechama are we supposed to take from all of this? So the parsha starts off, V'eschanan al Hashem ve'isa hilemor. Moshe Rabbeinu was mischonein, Rashi says, in chinam b'chol makam el-lashon matnas chinam. Right? He said that, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me a gift. Please speak to, you know, please, I'm speaking to you now, and I want a matnas chinam, meaning, and Rashi explains, that even though I know I have many, many zechuyos, says Moshe, but in the end, I'm just asking because you are in charge of everything, and you're the one who gives what you give, and you're the one who does not give when you don't want to give. And that's the simple understanding of what the Lashon Ve'eschanan. However, Unkelus explains, Ve'eschanan al Hashem, Vitzalesi Kedam Hashem. Right? I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu many, many times. The gematria of Ve'eschanan, right, is 515. Davened 515 tefilos. And I want what I want. I spoke to God and I said, listen, I really, really want to go into Eretz Yisrael. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael and see the land that's on the other side of the Jordan River. And what happened? Hashem could not give me what I wanted. Right? And Hashem said, Rav Lach, that's enough. You've spoken a lot. And Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Hazeh. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything else about this matter. And then he goes further, Ale Rosh HaPiska, go up to this mountaintop. V'soinecha yam v'tzachon v'seimano mizracha u'rei v'einecha. Look in all the different directions. Ki lo savor sayardin hazeh. You're not going to cross the Yarden. So Hashem not only does not give Moshe what he wants, he tells him, you're not allowed to daven anymore, and I'm going to sort of make fun of you. I'm going to give you what you asked for exactly, but I'm not going to actually give you what you want. So you said you wanted to cross over and see the land of Israel. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to see the land of Israel. And now you're going to have to die on this side of the Yarden. Meaning you're going to get your request to see the land of Israel, but you're not going to get to go into the land of Israel, which is obviously what you really wanted, not just to see it with your eyes. So this is almost less than what Moshe wanted. Moshe didn't ask to see the land so that he could be, you know, literal and say, you know, it's like you can make somebody a bet. I bet I could stand under water for 5 minutes straight. And you make the bet, and then the guy takes a cup of water and he holds it over his head and he says, look, I'm standing underwater for 5 minutes straight. So obviously everybody understands that guy did not actually win the bet. He's making a bad joke. And he's saying that I could stand underneath this cup of water. That's not what we were talking about over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have responded to God, thanks, but no thanks. This is not what we're talking about over here. I wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. I didn't want to see it as in like just, you know, you're going to show me a slideshow from your vacation to Eretz Yisrael that look at all these great places that I got to go to and you're not going to get to go to. You're making fun of me. You're mocking me. And this is worse because if you want to say no, no is no. Or you want to ignore me, okay, ignore me. You know, I'll understand that for some strange reason, you're ignoring me and giving me a hard time. But here, you're coming along and you're telling me, I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm going to, you know, but it's not going to be actually what you want, which is just insulting. So, l'chora, you can ask a lot more questions on this, but perhaps just to understand it, we can understand what the function of Moshe's tefillos were in the first place. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Ratzon Hashem. He knew that Hashem had already told him, there is a gzeira, and you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to get to go into Eretz Yisrael, even though obviously this is your goal. It's one of your life's goals. Obviously, you've achieved virtually everything a human being can achieve, but you're not going to achieve one of your life's goals. And this was understood going into this tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu started davening. But Moshe davened anyway. And Moshe understood from the history of his ancestors that Avram Avinu, daven for 100 years to have a child. Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu were unable to have children for such a long time. Literally, Avraham Avinu had to wait 100 years to have a child. And he kept davening. And the entire time, he had understood that it probably wasn't going to happen for him. And the way he speaks to Hashem at the Bris Ben Abisarim, the way he reacts when Hashem tells him he's going to have a child, the way Sarah reacts in Parshas Vayera when she's told she's going to have a child, it seems like they really were resigned to their fate. Although they kept davening, and they kept asking, please, can we have a child? At every given opportunity, Avraham Avinu says, it's very nice what you're giving me, but in the end, if I am holy hariri, if I'm going childless, then why is it that you're giving me all this great stuff? It's not worth it for me to just give this over to Eliezer. It's not worth it for me to have nothing. And in the end, Avraham Avinu continues to daven for a child. But he's resigned. He says, I'm not going to actually have a child of my own. Then he has Yishmael. And he says, okay, Yishmael, that's good enough. And Hashem says, no, you're going to have Yitzchak. It's going to be even better. And he makes him all the promises that obviously we are the result of those promises. Arayom Hazeh. So Kadosh Baruch was misavel tefilas and shel tzadikim. He wanted Avraham to daven for a long time. And then comes along Yitzchak. And Yitzchak also has this problem. And he has to daven, right? He has to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki akarahi, vayetar Yitzchak lenochach ishto ki akarahi, right? Also, Rivka was an akara, and Yitzchak has to daven for her for the better part, or for exactly 10 years, actually, until she's able to have Yaakov and Esau. And then comes along Yaakov Avinu. And there's some special circumstances over there, and it says that Leah, because Hashem saw that she was senua, he saw that she was in a particular state of difficulty, blessed her with children, and she had children right away. But Rachel Imenu was not able to have children right away. And she comes to Yaakov Avinu, and she says, Hava libanim v'mayim esa anochi. And he says, he gets upset, and he says, Atakas elokim anochi. Am I in place of God, right? And it's not my job to give you children. Kadosh Baruch was in charge of all of this. But nevertheless, we see again that Yaakov Avinu has to daven, and Rachel Avinu has to daven for children. And this is something that goes on. Kadosh Baruch Hu misavel tefilas shel tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves to hear the tefilas of tzadikim, and through their tefilos, he eventually fulfills their requests. And Moshe Rabbeinu is just following the lead. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening because that's what you do when you don't have what you want. You daven and you say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know everything's from you, and I know you can daven as long as 100 years like Avraham Avinu, but in the end, I want you to give me what I want. And Kadosh Baruch Hu turns him down and says, no, no more davening. Kadosh Baruch Hu never tells anybody else not to daven. Once in a while he says it's not the appropriate time to daven, like we have by the Yam Suf. But overall, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, you're not allowed to daven anymore. So Lechora, the way you have to explain this, and this is, herein lies the Nechama, is that when we daven for something, yes, the reason we daven is because we want Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us what we want. That's certainly what leads to our tefillos. But that's not the function of our davening. Our davening does not exist for us to get what we want. Our davening exists as a way to connect to the Almighty. It's a way of us to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way that had we gotten everything we had ever wanted, we would never do so. Meaning even the greatest of all people, Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't daven like this until the situations were very dire. Right, we have by the Chiv HaEgel that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Klal Yisrael. What? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, leave me alone, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. We have Moshe Rabbeinu davening for Klal Yisrael at the Chet HaMeraglim because Hashem says, again, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. By Korach he davens for them, you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael. All these cases, Hashem makes these threats. What, Hashem just likes making threats? No, he wants to signal to Moshe, now is the time for davening. Now is the time where we have to forge this deeper connection and bring out your inner Ratzon to make known to the Ribbono Shel Olam so that he can connect you in such a way. This is the way Hashem wants us to daven. He wants us to have this sense of desperation. He wants us to have this idea of needing him, but it's not because he wants us to just get everything that we ask for. It's not because really even the things that we ask for are the ikker. It's just that he understands that the way he put us into this world is that we should have certain needs, we should have certain desires and wants, and through those desires, we can forge a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can basically drop all of our problems at his doorstep and say, I know that you're the God of everything. I know that whatever I want really comes from you. Whatever I have, both the good and the bad, is really coming from you. And therefore, I want to make my rut zone known to you, not because you don't know it, but because I want to recognize that it's all from you. And I want to connect to you in that special way. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps certain things out of our reach. And he gives us needs and wants and difficulties in life so that we can reach out to him. Not because things that we reach out for are necessarily what we should be reaching out for, but in order to forge that greater connection, in order to build the bond of us, you know, looking up to Shamayim and saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need everything from you. And this is just how it's manifesting itself right now. But really, I know that everything comes from you, and I want to connect to you through tefillah, but using this particular need as the catalyst. And that's the real nechama that we're starting with. The nechama is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I want you to connect to me. I want to have this relationship with you, and I never want it to be broken no matter what happens. Whether you're going to get what you want or not is really secondary to the fact that I want you to connect to me through your wants and needs. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this bond that can never be broken. We have this later in the parsha as well, where we're told, "Ki solid banim uvnei banim noshantam ba'aretz." You're going to have children and grandchildren. Vishchatem vasisem fesel tunas kol vasisem harav b'nei Hashem lokecha la'afiso. And you're going to do things that cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get angry at you. You're going to worship Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says, you're going to be in big trouble when this happens. You're going to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael because of this. And not only this, but I'm swearing to you from Shemayim Va'aretz. You're not going to be able to stay there for long. Rather, you're going to be lost from there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Zayin. I'm going to spread you out throughout the world, and you're going to be small in number. And va'avadatam sham Elohim ma'asei de adam eitzva evan asher lo yirun v'lo yishmu'un v'lo yochlun v'lo yirichun. And you're going to, not necessarily you're going to have to worship Avodah Zarah, but you're going to have to worship over the Avodah Zarah, and therefore that's going to be a further disgrace. And what's going to happen when all this comes to pass? Uvi kashtem misham es Hashem Elokechu matzasa. You're going to seek out God and you're going to find him. Meaning, Moshe is telling them, as soon as you turn back to the Ribono Shelolam, as soon as you abandon your Avodah Zarah and you try to reforge that connection, it's going to be there for you. As long as you reach out with your heart and soul, you take those desires, you take that disgrace that you feel from having to serve over the Avodah Zarah, you reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to find what you're looking for. Because Hashem is a merciful God. He's not going to leave you alone, you know, to your destruction. He's not going to leave you by yourselves. He's never going to forget the covenant that he made with your forefathers. And etc. The parsha continues along these lines throughout. But the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us here is that, yes, I want that connection to you. And there are going to be things over the years that sever that connection. But I'm always there, right in the background, right behind the curtain. And I always want to hear from you and to connect to you in that special way that we have. And going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to see, I think we can see what Nechama is all about from all of this. Moshe Rabbeinu wants something from the Ribono Shel Olam. Because of Moshe's tefillos, who knows what really came to pass? Who knows what tikkunim were made? Who knows what positive things were brought forth into the world through this connection that Moshe Rabbeinu had with the Ribono Shel Olam, with these tough kuf tesvav tefillos? But in the end, he didn't get what he wanted. He seemed to be getting mocked. He seemed to be getting made fun of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm going to give you literally what you want, but I can't give you what you actually want. So how is this an answer? Hashem is telling him, listen, Moshe, we have a gzeira here. The gzeira cannot be undone. For whatever reason, we don't understand it necessarily. God says, I understand it. You don't necessarily have to understand it. If Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand it, I certainly don't understand it, and neither has any human being ever understood it exactly. But this is the gzeira, and this is the way it has to be. Now, Hashem says, do you think that because this is the gzeira, I don't want to give you what you want? Of course I want to give you what you want. Of course, if there was anything that I could do to allow you to have what you want, I would give it to you, but for whatever reason, this is not the right thing right now. Now, if you punish a child and you say, and the child is told because of what you did, you're not going to be allowed to have any ice cream tonight. So the child is crying and screaming and he wants ice cream and all his siblings are having ice cream and every kid in the whole place is having ice cream except for him. And he feels so left out and he feels so sad. So you say to the kid, listen, there was a gzeira that was made. You did X, Y, and Z wrong. You lost your ice cream. You don't get the treat that everybody else gets to have. That doesn't mean I don't want to give it to you. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't enjoy seeing the smile on your face if you got your ice cream. I would love to see you get your ice cream. And in fact, I'm going to talk to you about what flavors you're going to get next time when you do the right thing, what kind of ice cream we're going to get. And we're going to sit there and have a whole conversation about your favorite kind of ice cream. Now, the kid can think that you're mocking him. The kid could think that you're making fun of me. Oh, you want to talk to me about my favorite flavors because I don't get to have ice cream right now? No, it's not about mocking you. It's about telling you, I love the fact that you enjoy this. I want to see their enjoyment. But right now, you have something that you need to learn. Right now, there's a lesson that needs to be taught, and I can't give you exactly what you want. But hopefully in the future, when things are better, this will be exactly what you get, and this will be you. And I want to have it clear. I want to know exactly what it is that you love about ice cream so that I can make it as great as possible for you when you earn that. When you finally earn the ice cream that you want right now, it's going to be perfect and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be exactly the way you like it. The nechama is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only doing this because this is what we need. This is what our actions have brought us. However, the second that tikkun can be made, the second we're chozer b'tshuva, the second we reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, we kashna misham, we look and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want to be in this situation anymore. We want to be better. We want to have accomplished more. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us what we want. And he's always waiting. He's standing right behind the curtain. He's telling you, I'm with you all the way. And if I could give it to you right now, I would give it to you. I'm with you and I feel your pain and I want to share it with you. And I want to connect to you through your tefillos. And that's never going to change. And that's our job. And the way we can actually be misnachem, the way we can actually receive this nechama, is by our feeling this kinship to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to say, we understand what's really going on here. We know that you're right there. We know that we have a job to do and we have to learn our lesson in order that you can give us our full consolation in the future. A quick mashal that a friend of mine once told me about this is that a number of years ago, we were in yeshiva, and he told me his sister had just had her first baby, and the baby had to learn how to sleep through the night. It's the standard thing when you have a baby, then they have to eventually learn how to sleep through the night, and the best way to teach a kid how to sleep through the night is to let the kid cry a little bit until finally the kid realizes nobody's coming, and that it may as well just go to sleep. So that's what was happening. Kid was crying, and every single time the kid would cry, you know, it's a baby crying, it's hard to hear. So the mom would run in and grab the baby, take him out of the crib and hug him and try to get him to calm down. And that's not, you know, it's not going to get anything done. And finally her husband had to say, listen, this is what we're planning to do. This is our job. We're trying to teach him how to sleep through the night. We have to let him cry. And if we're not willing to do it, he's never going to learn anything. So basically she agreed, fine, I'm not going to run in, but I want to just leave the door open a little bit of a crack. I want to just have this crack in the door where I can peek in and I can see that nothing's going wrong. And that's what happened. The baby was crying. She would open up the door a little bit and she would peek inside to see that everything was okay. And when she would do that, she would have, you know, feel a little bit better about the situation. Now, to the baby's knowledge, he didn't know that his mother was around. So eventually he stopped crying and he learned how to sleep through the night. But what she gained from it is that she was able to say that I wasn't being completely callous. I was with him all along, and he wasn't really alone. And my friend said, when he saw that, he said, that's a great mashal for the Shkina and Golus. That's a great mashal to try to understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us all along. We feel like we're all alone in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillos. He doesn't give us what we want. He doesn't give in, and it's very hard for us to accept. But if we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us and he's peeking in that little crack in the doorway and he wishes he could give us exactly what we want, but we first have to learn how to sleep through the night. We first have to learn the message that he's trying to give us, and only then can he fully open the door and he can come and he can take us out. Then if we really internalize that idea, we'll feel a tremendous nechama, and hopefully it will lead to us actually learning the lesson and leading to the ultimate nechama that we're going to experience with the coming Mashiach from here.